Yes, ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Welcome to the Five Tools Show. Happy Tuesday. I am your host, Tanya Mercado. It is definitely, definitely going to be an interesting show tonight because we have lots, and I mean lots, to talk about. There's absolutely no reason why everybody in America and across the globe who are Mets fans or Marlins fans or Blue Jays fans should not be tuning into tonight's program. As you all are aware, we just recently heard that Jose Reyes, among so many others, are being traded to the Toronto Blue Jays. Big surprise. Last year, when the whole Jose Reyes deal happened between the Marlins and himself, I even said that he would be gone by this time. And it really is not a big surprise. I mean, look at how many people they had with these big contracts. They had Ozzie Guillen. You got to think about it. They had Ozzie Guillen. He fell. They had Reyes. They had Ramirez, Josh Johnson, Mark Burley, Benifassi. I mean, they had, like, this huge, huge team that was supposed to just win it all, and they won nothing. You want to know what they won? I'll tell you what they won. They won nothing but grief and aggravation. That is exactly what they won. They became the biggest losers. Well, it's been a while. I mean, everybody has made jokes nonstop about the New York Mets, but come on. Florida Marlins, they had a new ballpark. They were supposed to be this great big team. They were supposed to be the big bad wolf of the National League East. Instead, they're just a big bad joke of the National League East. What have they shown? They've shown nothing. I'll tell you what they've shown. They've shown that it doesn't matter how many times you say, yes, we're going in the right direction. Yes, we're signing this player, that player, and the other player. It means nothing. Your own general manager didn't even believe in what he had. 1 year. He gave his team 1 year. So many different egos, and yet you give them 1 year to get something done. It's not going to take 1 year, Mr. Michael Hale. You signed a bunch of nutcases. What did you expect? Mr. Jose Reyes, I want to be close to my family in the Dominican Republic. Me voy para Florida. Bueno, papa. Ahora te va a Toronto. Maldito sea. Good luck with that. Quería ir con tu familia. Ahora you're even farther away from your family. How's that working out for you? By the way, artificial turf, yeah, good luck with that too. That's not going to work out too well. So let's see. How many years do you have left on your contract? Let's see how long you're actually going to last in Toronto. You got problems with your hammies as it is. Let's see what's going to happen to you now, buddy. You may want to start learning how to sing O Canada. Another thing, hockey, yeah, a big thing in Canada. So I hope you plan on going to the Toronto Maple Leaf game. Oh, wait, there is no hockey, so we don't even have to do that either. Fire sale. Those are the two words we're talking about here. Everybody and their mother is going. You know what? Toronto Blue Jays, they might as well call themselves the Toronto Marlins. Yeah, this mega trade just happening. Reyes, Mark Burley, Josh Johnson, catcher, John Buck, center fielder, Emilio Bonifacio, gone. Toronto, one-way ticket. Adios, amigos. And who did the Marlins get? One little Yunel Escobar. In addition to three top prospects. So let me tell you something. Everybody's like, oh, well, the new manager, Redmond, for the Marlins, he was in the Toronto system. He knows the prospects. Well, big freaking whoop-de-doo. Last time I checked, just because you know the prospects doesn't mean that they're going to come up and be something. Or does everybody forget about Alex Escobar? Or Fernando Martinez? That didn't quite work out so well now, did it? So just because you have top prospects, that don't mean jack squat. That means you've got nothing but question marks. You have hope. You hope that there'll be something, but you're not guaranteed anything. Yes, we're the Marlins. We're going to be big now. Look at all the players we got. You got nobody now. You got rid of Ramirez. He fell. Ozzie Guillen. And now it's this bunch. So how's it looking for a team who made the taxpayers of Miami pay for a new ballpark? Yeah, not so good. Right now, you guys are looking like a bunch of idiots. Like you got egg on your face. I have some handkerchiefs. I can loan you something. You could just wipe it off your face. So here's my next question. At what point is Mr. Michael Hill going to lose his job? Because right now with this fire sale going on, Marlins not going nowhere. They're going to be sellers well as for a while now. So Mets fans, guess what? You got nothing to worry about right now. Alderson can do whatever the hell he wants. Mets definitely won't be in the cellar. 2013, let's go Mets. We got this. Marlins got nothing. They got robbed. They dumped over $176 million with this one trade. And I'd like to welcome Mets Public Record into the chat room. Good evening, Mets Public Record. We are talking about the new trade that just happened. I do have a guest co-host tonight, Mr. Phil Mason from The Phil Mason Show. Many of you know him because he's been on the program before. Mr. Phil, how are you tonight?
I'm great. Thanks a lot for inviting me. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Long time no chat.
That's right. Yeah, it's been a while, huh? Since July 11th.
You keep
I remember
track.
That. I do, I because it was the day before on my birthday, and I was sick that day. I remember this very vividly.
I don't remember much. I really don't. Listen.
Well, you I'm probably have a lot more going
I'm
on.
I'm lucky when I wake up in the morning. I'm lucky that when I wake up in the morning, I know who I am and where I am.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I don't even know that, but... Well, that was quite a monologue there.
Yes, well, I had a lot to say about this.
Right. Okay. So you don't approve of this trade?
I think it's a great trade for the Jays. I think it's a stupid trade for the Marlins. I mean, I'm sorry. You're trying to bring a fan base. Well, actually, you're trying to grow a fan base. I mean, what type of a fan base do you really have if you only got 15 people coming to the ballpark? I hardly call that a fan base. I got more neighbors than that. Then again, living in the Bronx, of course I would. But you're trying to get these people to come into a ballpark that they themselves built. You're trying to sell, hey, you made a smart investment in building this ballpark. And now you mean to tell me that the taxpayers of Miami don't feel a little stupid right now? You don't think that they're pissed right now? I sure as hell would be pissed.
Well, they don't go to the games anyway. I don't think they really care. I think the Marlins are like a third thought in Miami. Actually, a fourth thought. It goes like this. Dolphins, Heat, University of Miami, and then the baseball team down there. I think that's how it works.
Nobody gives a flying crap about baseball in Florida. Florida is strictly, for the most part, a football state. So why they decided to build a new ballpark in Miami is beyond me. But that ballpark is so ugly. Everybody and their mother's running right now. Okay, I don't even want to set foot in that ballpark. I see pictures of that ballpark, and it makes me dizzy.
Yeah, that fancy's a little much, probably. But they're big in the spring, though. I mean, spring training is big down there.
don't give a crap. It's, you want to know why it's big? Because everybody and their mother from New York and where have you go down there.
Yeah. But the local people like it, too. Like in Fort Myers, I have friends in Fort Myers, and they love it. They love going to watch the Twins play.
You want to know why?
Lakers.
Because all of them, once upon a time, they lived in New York, and they were able to see their teams up here, their professional teams. And so now they all they got left is spring training.
That's fair enough. So are we going to talk about the Marlins all night?
Listen, and I'd like to welcome NDB Media. I'm guessing that's Roger. Roger, if that's you, say what's up. I think that's my benevolent dictator who has joined us in the chat room tonight. We do have a call, which we're going to bring in a little while. And, yes, we are going to talk about the Marlins because the Marlins right now look like the biggest Dumas's on God's green earth. They got nothing out of this trade. And you know what? Everybody knew that this was going to happen. Why? Because everybody knows that the Marlins are the fire sellers. But here's an interesting thought, and I actually had seen this tweet. What if they dumped all this money to sign Alex Rodriguez? Now, I don't believe that's true. I just think that these guys are just a bunch of idiots who don't know what they're doing. But I found that interesting. Because for a while, everybody was talking about what if Alex Rodriguez went to Miami? Because the Yankees aren't happy with Rodriguez. They want to get rid of him. Who knows if he'll be here next year? So where's he going to go? He's going to either go to the Angels or he's going to go to Miami. Bueno, como él está viejo, since he's so old, I hardly think that he's going to go to Miami. So no, I don't think the Marlins are going to bring up A-Rod aboard. But I was curious, what do you think?
I honestly think Alex Rodriguez is going to stay in New York. And I think what they're doing in Miami is they had an experiment. It didn't work. They wanted to fill up the ballpark, and they brought all these guys in like Heath Bell, Reyes, Burley. They had Hanley Ramirez. They brought in an outrageous manager, and none of the above mattered. They took a look over at what Billy Beane's doing over in Oakland, and they decided, hey, let's do the same thing. You know, I'll tell you what, though. The Marlins ended up with Escobar, right, the shortstop. El Medicone. So, I mean, I think the Marlins, I think they probably knew what they were doing. I probably believe that they knew that these knuckleheads weren't going to ever play together. You can't put a team together of all-stars in baseball and make it happen. I don't think it's possible.
Because it kind of worked really well for the Yankees, so, yeah.
Yeah, back in the 70s it worked. But not like today. And then here again, too, you've got a guy like Reyes who is hurt and doesn't play hard every night. And then you've got a guy like Burley who isn't exactly Mr. Cy Young. I mean, they didn't exactly put together a team like Reggie Jackson, Cashcase Hunter, Greg Nettles, those kind of guys. They didn't even put together a team like the 86 Mets. So I don't know. I think what they did is they thought they could pull it off and did. And now they're just dumping them now while they can still do it, and they don't have to pay all that money out. But we saw that coming, right? When they traded Hanley Ramirez, and when they traded the two guys, Anibal Sanchez, and who was it, Omar Infante to the Tigers. We kind of had a hint that this fire sale was happening, didn't we?
I had a hint this fire sale was happening when these players got signed. What, are you kidding me? You had to be blind to not see this coming. There was no way that this team was going to go anywhere. Call it a curse, call it whatever you want to call it, but it wasn't going to happen.
Well, we said this that spring. I thought it was going to be a circus from day one, and it turned out to be a circus. And, I'll tell you what, they almost caught the Mets, though. Or I should say, the Mets almost caught them. because the Mets were way ahead of them at one point.
All right, well, I'm going to bring in our caller.
Okay.
This button, I forgot, that'd be nice. Hey, caller, welcome to the Five Tool Show. You're talking to Tanya and Phil. Who are you? Where are you? And what do you want?
This is Joey calling from New York. Man, you're on fire tonight, Tanya.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. What do you want?
Well, I'm just loving this. How you doing, Phil? I'm loving this. I told people when Tanya called it, I felt the same way. And I told people before the season started that the Miami Marlins were going to be Major League Baseball's version of the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles were the quote-unquote dream team, and it turned out to be a nightmare. And the Miami Marlins went from being on the cover of Sports Illustrated with Guillen, Ramirez, and Reyes, and about how great they're going to be before the baseball season started, to you may as well put them on the cover of Mad Magazine, because they're a flat-out joke. Okay? And as a diehard Mets fan, a team in our division, yeah, I'm absolutely loving this. I mean, this is just great. And Tanya with her monologue is exactly what I was looking forward to. I mean, it just made my night. So great job as always, and you're pretty much answering all my questions on what I would ask you. So just keep up the great work, and I'm loving this.
All right, Joey, thank you for the call. Well,
hey, Joey, by the way, thanks for the tip on the two broke girls.
So, Mets fans are kind of loving this deal. They really are. Why? Because they're bitter. Shocker. Things don't go their way, so why should anybody else be happy? Everybody should be just as miserable as we are. I'm not going to knock it. Everybody knows I'm a Mets fan. I was happy as a clam when this whole stupid thing happened. But you know what? Here's the other thing that kills me. What does it say about a general manager who says this? Because we all know that last year, during the baseball season, the Marlins were on this Showtime program called The Franchise. So Michael Hill comes out and he says, we have certain veterans who we thought would carry us in Hanley Ramirez and Jose Reyes, and that the kids would take that next step. Well, Stanton, to his credit, is for the most part taking that step, but Logan Morrison has not, and the veterans have crapped all over themselves, end quote. Now, I'm sorry. My general manager says that to me. I'm going to say, to hell with you then. I think Michael Hill, he put this team together. This team did nothing. I think he's the next one out the door. And this is something that I'm noticing more and more and more. General managers are not being held accountable to the crap they put on the field. This is just my observation, for whatever it's worth. And it must be worth something because you people listen. What do you think?
Oh, I agree with you. In fact, on my show, we hold Sandy Alderson accountable because we think he's crap. So, yeah, it should be. The problem is that unless the major media outlets, especially in New York, like the Post or the Daily News, don't start holding this guy accountable, no one listens. Well, I mean, people listen, but it's a little different, I guess. But, yeah, we've all, since probably June, Mark Berman and I have been after Alderson since then, I'm sure. Maybe before then. You know, that bullpen was his baby last year. That was what he worked on last winter. And, well, we saw what that did. Because, you know, when we look at the Cy Young stuff, it shows. Alderson's handiwork shows. Can you name me one good thing that he's done?
I'm sorry, who are you talking about?
Sandy Alderson. I kind of switched gears because we're talking about general managers and holding them accountable.
Yeah, well, Sandy Alderson is Sandy Alderson. Okay, Alderson is just like, right now he's irking my life because he hasn't done anything at the moment. I'm giving him one last year as a mercy rule. I normally don't do that. But you want to know what the problem is with mainstream media? The problem is that all they care about is the gossip that goes around in these teams. They don't care about anything else. They don't care what the fans think. They don't care about what's going on in the front office. All they care is about the chisme, the gossip, the bochinche. You give them that, they're satisfied. They sell their papers. But they're not really listening to the fan base. Okay, even here in New York, I've been a little agitated with some of these writers to the point where I tweeted them, "You guys are pissing me off. Tell me why Adam Rubin, he comes out during the meetings last year, he says, oh, just saw Fred Wilpon coming out of the elevator. He's wearing this type of sweater. Who the hell cares? Go up to the man, ask him what the hell is going on. I don't give a flying crap what the hell he's wearing. Your job in the media is to hold these people accountable. And how are you doing that? The only thing you're saying is, well, according to my source, screw your damn source. How do we know you're not making it up? Either you're going to hold these people accountable or shut up and I'll break your damn pen. How about that? Oh, wait, sorry. We're in the computer generation. I'll break your damn iPad. That works better?
Okay.
I'm just saying some stuff. I don't know if anybody out there agrees with me. But I'm kind
of
frustrated and I'm aggravated.
Okay. Well, we agree with you, actually. I talk about that a lot. You know, most of the mainstream media is really all about entertainment and sensationalism. It's really what it's about. You know, they don't want to do really hard work anymore because there's no point. They don't get paid any extra. So what's the point? You don't have these hard-nosed reporters anymore, guys who seek out the story. For example, the fellas who broke the Chicago White or the Chicago Black Sox scandal. Those guys dug for 6 to 8 months and busted that thing in 1918. I mean, you don't get that too often any longer. Because, well, if they write something too hard, they lose their access or whatever. And it's too bad, you know, but it's a generation now.
I've had enough with this media. I've had enough with ESPN. I've had enough. I can't even put it into words how I feel, especially about ESPN.
All right. Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless are two of my favorite targets.
You have your favorite?
I cannot stand those two guys. I can't believe that they're even on TV, but that's what they're there for, because they're entertaining, apparently.
That's exactly what it is. All of a sudden, and this is something that irked my life. I was taking a class in journalism, because we all know I studied broadcasting journalism. Tell me why the professor says, so Tanya, what do you want to do? I want to be a sports reporter. Why? That's not real journalism. Excuse me? Not real journalism. Oh, you know who we have to think about? Thanks for that? The Adam Rubens of the world. ESPN. At one time, these were people we respected. Now, we're just like, seriously? This is what we watch now to get our sports news. It's not news. Watching ESPN these days is like watching E. That's what that is now. Tell me why I'm listening to the report that they were doing about the Marlins, and they said, yeah, the Florida Rays. What? Okay, so let's merge the Marlins with the Rays. You can't even get it right.
I don't have ESPN, so I don't worry. I have the podcast center, though, that I listen to some of their stuff, so I can crack on it. But, yeah, I guess you're right. So who told you that sports journalism isn't real journalism?
One of my professors who is actually a journalist. I will not give her name. But I was highly agitated.
All right.
Journalism. Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to argue it because she's kind of right. True journalism in sports went the way of the dodo.
Not too often. Not too often. It's a pity, but, well, it is what it is. Well, you have to just get out there and change it. That's what we're trying to do at my show, change it. And we do some crazy things now because it's a daily show. It's a little different than a weekly one. But we try to go after some things. It's pretty good stuff for me sometimes.
These people don't want me out there. I will hold ownership accountable. Mr. Wilpons, I got no money. So, duh. How did that all of a sudden become a new story? The Wilpons are broke, so the payroll's not going to go anywhere, and the Wilpons are going to be out within 2 years. That's a source in the front office. How is that new? I'm sorry. I thought that news kind of broke when the whole Madoff scandal broke. I'm just saying. I didn't know that all of a sudden the Wilpons even had money. But yet all of a sudden we're turning into the Wilpons being broke into a new story. Somebody's desperate to get readers. People, the Wilpons are broke. They're not going anywhere either. All right? Learn to live with it or find another team to root for. Okay? Everybody wants to complain the Wilpons aren't spending the money. They got no money to spend. What do you want? You're not exactly going to the game. So what type of money are they going to offer the players? You want right. You want Dickie. You know what? You should have been spending your money in the ballpark. How about that? Speaking of R.A. Dickie, Mr. I'm a finalist. I'm among the top three finalists for the Cy Young Award. What do you think the chances are? And I'd like to welcome guests 13032 and Speculation Sports into the chat room. This is the Five Tool Show. We are talking Mets baseball. We were talking about the Marlins. We are currently talking about R.A. Dickey and the Cy Young Award. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, I'll tell you what. He's a sentimental favorite. He's statistically the favorite. He's up against Gio Gonzalez and Clayton Kershaw. I don't know. He should win. I think anyone who's in this day and age who even has one complete game, let alone five that Dickey has, three shutouts this year, 231 innings pitched, 220 strikeouts, not too shabby. Not too shabby. You know, the closest, Gio Gonzalez only pitched 199 innings. You know, Gio Gonzalez barely got past the sixth inning in any of his games. But here's an interesting stat that I saw earlier today that made me kind of wonder. Of the three finalists, the Mets score 4.6 runs per game when Dickey pitches. When Gio Gonzalez pitches, the Nationals score 5.64 runs per game. And when Clayton Kershaw pitches, they only score 3.64 runs per game. So a couple things stand out. One, Clayton Kershaw has had an incredible year. And two, the New York Mets bullpen sucks because had it have been a little bit better, R.A. Dickey more than likely would have had about 26 wins. But I think he's probably the sentimental favorite. If you're a Mets fan, and if more importantly, if you're from the Mets front office, you want to see him win this thing. Because if he wins this thing, his value on the trade market goes up a bit.
So
that's what I think about
R.A. Dickey. You're all for trading R.A. Dickey.
I'm all for whatever's best for the New York Mets. I have a list of people that possibly could be traded.
You're in sports media. You're an analyst. What is best for the New York Mets?
I missed that. What did you say?
You're in sports media. What is best for the New York Mets?
The New York Mets, the best thing for the New York Mets is to trade R.A. Dickey now. Because,
why?
Quite frankly, he's not the future. He's 38 years old next year. He's going to command a lot more money. He is not a young guy like John Neese, who's got a contract or club-friendly contract. He's not a Wheeler or a Harvey, even a G. And quite frankly, he can actually bring you something, whereas you would have to give up.
Yeah,
the
he
farm.
Can. He could bring paying spectators to come to Citi Field to watch somebody who can actually win a damn game.
Well, yeah, but then again, this could all be a fluke, too. You know, he's one bad manicure away from a horrible season.
Okay, so well, if he's such a fluke, then what type of a trade value is he? He's a knuckleballer. People are afraid of knuckleballers. Who's really going to give anything that's worth anything to the New York Mets? Everybody knows the Mets are desperate. They're going to try to rob the Mets blind. You don't know what you have in R.A. Dickey. You yourself just said that right now. So why are we trading him?
Because you have to
you
do
don't know
something.
What you, have,
you said it
you don't know what you have
you
in Houston either.
But here's the thing, though. You said it yourself. The Wilpons don't have any money to spend. They have to do something. Someone has to go. Who do you want to go then? Okay, let's say the Mets keep R.A. Dickey. So who else is worth anything that we could trade for? You have David Wright. I don't think anyone wants to see him go, although he could probably fetch a few people, especially if they re-sign him. You have John Neese, who's the future, a young guy with a very club-friendly, economically friendly contract, long-term deal. You've got Ike Davis, who knows what will happen with him, but he still hit 32 home runs. And then you have, let's see, who else could they possibly trade? Lucas Duda? Who's going to really want Lucas Duda? What are you going to get for Lucas Duda? Not much. Jordani Zaldespin? You're not going to get much for him. Kirk Nieuwenhuis? Not too much. Daniel Murphy? You might be able to get a mid-level prospect for him. Now, you could trade Harvey or Wheeler, but that'd be silly. So you have no choice but to trade somebody. R.A. Dickey seems to be the expendable one. He's not homegrown like all these other guys where the Mets has actually invested a lot of money in. R.A. Dickey's going to be 38 years old. He's done a great job for the New York Mets. I love watching this guy pitch. But someone has to be traded. Someone. He seems to be the one that if the Mets lose him, at least they're not losing their future. I don't see them, if they have a brain in their head anyway, thinking that R.A. Dickey is part of the future. 2013 is not the target. They told us that. 2014 is. So, R.A. Dickey's going to be 39 then? What are you going to get out of him? 15, 14 wins? You probably won't see him do this again. This is a one-time deal, more than likely. So, I mean, you have to strike while the iron is hot. You got to sell the merchandise while people are still interested. That's my opinion.
Yes, it is your opinion. And the opinions of a lot of other Mets fans is you keep him. I'm
all
sorry.
Right. Well, I usually go against the grain.
He's the one guy you actually relied on. He's the one guy who's actually an ace. You don't know what you have in Santana. Lord knows if Santana could even make it past the month of April. Okay?
Well, I don't
and
even
don't
consider Santana
I don't think he's
ever going to pitch again.
I love Johan Santana. He's a great guy. I love what he did for the Mets. Thank you for our no-hitter, Santana. I'm not saying he's washed up, but you don't know what you have in him. You need somebody in that rotation. You need that veteran in the rotation. You're not going to have Pelfrey. Okay? Matt Harvey might be in the rotation. Who knows what we're going to get out of spring training? Who knows what we're going to get? There's no money. There's no money. All the money's going to David Wright. Okay? It doesn't matter right now. Okay, we're going for 2014. That's fine. You know what? Either way, we have R.A. Dickey for next year. personally, I don't see an actual trade happening right now because too many people are afraid of a knuckleball pitcher.
I don't know. I think you're gonna, I think there's probably 10 or 12 teams that would be interested. You know, you're not looking for an ace out of Dickey. You're looking for he's a great number 3, 4, 5 pitcher. He's not an ace. He's an ace in the Mets staff because the Mets staff, frankly, sucks. That's why he's
and
the
that's
ace.
My point.
Otherwise, he wouldn't be.
And that's
yeah,
my
but here's
thing.
The thing. Then how do you improve the team, Tanya? How? How do you improve
the team?
Because the farm system is destroyed because
you sell. Because there's no other way to improve mm-hmm. this team. There is nothing outside of pulling the World Pons out of their asses and selling the team. That is the only
way. Well, they're
way
not going to do that.
Well, then you know what? Then Mets fans better find something to do for 2013.
Well, even if they sold the team, they're not going to be very competitive in 2013. They've already told us that 2013 is not even their target date. But you have to do something. The minor league system is a shambles. You have no one to replace
it. It's in shambles. Because we don't have Matt Harvey. We don't have Zach Wheeler. Yes, it is in shambles. Because we have nobody in the minor
league. But you have no one to. But the thing is that you have to go out there and you have to do something. You have to either go to the free agent market or trade. That's the only way you can do it. And who else are you going to trade? It's great that we want to be sentimental and keep R.A. Dickey.
I'm not
but
trying to be
realistically. But you said, well, he'll bring 10 people in the seats, 10 more people in the seats, and you'll see fans. And whatever, and you know he's going to win. Well, we don't know what he's going to do next year. But the thing is this. Someone has, they have to trade somebody. And he seems to be the one that 2014, 2015, and beyond, they're not counting on. How could they? I mean,
okay,
how
well, we
could
do
they?
Have, we do have another caller, so I'm going to bring him on this. Hello, caller. Is that you, Roger? I believe it is Roger.
Yes, it is, Tanya. How you doing? Hey, Phil.
Hey, Roger, how are you?
I'm
doing
well. I am in a very foul mood, in case you haven't noticed.
Yes, well, that's why I said hi to everyone, to make sure I got that across first.
What can I do for you, Roger?
Well, I'm responding to your request in the chat room for me to call in. So
yes,
either I'm going to be on your side or against you. I don't know, Tanya. What do you want me to do?
I work for you, so I would think you would be in my corner considering I was a guest on your show, Sports Talk with the Guys, which airs every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern time, which, by the way, is a marvelous program.
Yes, on Saturday morning. As you found out, Tanya, we are a different animal on Saturday morning, yes.
You really are, though. I did not expect what I heard on Saturday.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. But if I invite everyone to go in, everyone's welcome. It's fun. We do 2 hours, and the couch potato follows us 2 hours after that. So it's 4 hours on Saturday morning. But I do want to say, and I appreciate the arguments about this R.A. Dickey thing. So, Tanya, this was my stance before. As you commented on City Field of Dreams, my thing was keep him. Keep him, keep him, keep him. But then when I found out he was 39 years old, you know what? I don't know how much he has left. This might be his last year, and I'm betting that's what it is. And I figure you try to get something for him. How much you get? Well, you got to find out. You got to find out what's available. And you never know. Think of this trade, Tanya. Since the Blue Jays are investing in pitching, trade R.A. Dickey for Jose Reyes. That'd be funny.
Oh, hell no. No way.
Yes, it would never happen.
I would never want Jose Reyes back. He's gone. We're moving on. We got to hire.
Remember I told you, Tanya, the minute the Marlins signed him, remember I told you, you wouldn't miss him. And based on what they did you miss him?
I missed him like I missed a corn on my foot.
Oh, wow. Pretty good. Hey, Phil. Did you miss him
that
much?
By the way, thanks for the support of my show, man. I really appreciate your support for my show, dude.
No, it's cool, man. Hey, I'm that Roger, the one on Facebook. It's cool, man.
Yeah, I know who it is. Program. Yeah, sure, that's what I mean. Thanks for the support.
I see
you liking my show, and I just want to say thanks.
Everything.
Uh-oh.
I have to
but
say.
But I'll tell you what. I think you're right.
Wait,
all right, Dickie.
Bill,
you got to get somebody.
Bill.
Okay.
Hold on a second. I got to say hello to Peter, Laker fan, who just joined us in the chat room, because it has been forever and a day and then some since he has been in this show. So, Peter, by all means, feel free to call
that
him.
That is cool. He's my co-host. Tanya, of course, knows that. But for you guys, the Saturday morning stuff, he also does a Monday night program, which unfortunately I hijacked yesterday, which is what I do as a benevolent dictator. But, yeah, hey, guys, I mean, and ever since Tanya invited Phil to be on this program from time to time, I started paying attention to all the podcasts and listening to them. Every time I do a like, it's because I heard the program. So as you can tell, Phil, I don't catch everyone, but I do catch a lot of them.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's a daily show now. We've kind of went daily, so I have to throw in some other stuff, you know. But it's all good,
okay,
man.
Yeah,
hey,
well,
by the way, I'll tell you what, I'm going to send you an email tomorrow because I have a question about some iTunes stuff. Because I used to subscribe to your show on Saturdays, and it stopped. So I'll send you an email tomorrow.
I appreciate that, Phil. Yeah, you know, Blog Talk Radio did something. They're still available, but... yeah, they messed everything up. I love Blog Talk Radio.
That's why I'm not on it.
Yeah. I have enough headaches.
But, yeah, Dickie, yeah, you're right. Dickie's at that age, Mel, where you have to get somebody, you have to trade someone. He wins the Cy Young, his stock goes up. Whether he's hot or cold next year is irrelevant. He is hot now, and you strike while the iron is hot. You sell high and buy low, just like the stock market, right, Roger?
I think so. Yes, I agree with that. Tanya, I don't know if there's anything else on the Mets. You know, long-term, the Mets have good scouts out there. I think they can build up a team. Look, the Mets are always coming out with some good talent. Whether they hold on to it or not is a different story. Those financial issues are over and done with. Major League Baseball just signed a brand-new, huge television contract. There's a lot of money there. Knowing that, the Mets may, and I'm being serious, the Mets may be competitive as early as 2014. They've got some guys in the minor leagues coming up, and you never know. You can get lucky. There are teams out there that are willing to gamble for Dickie. They're one pitcher short, and they'll go for that guy. You'd be surprised. Executives are stupid. Look at today's trade.
That was a crazy trade.
I didn't even know the trade until you guys were talking about it. And then I paid attention to, hey, Tim McClive's in the chat room, too.
Yeah, I was about to say, hi, Tim. Not the first time I see Tim.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. Tim, if you didn't hear about it, Tanya's co-host is Phil. Let's get the last name down. Is it Nason?
Yep, Phil Nason.
Ooh.
Yes, and I host the Phil Nason show.
Yeah, I want to make sure I get it right because I have the habit of even I hear it correctly and then I say it differently. That's one of the issues that we have.
I'm the same. I'm terrible with last names.
I hear you.
You should live in Greece.
You have a podcast?
You should live in Greece with all these crazy names.
That's true. Peter, Tim, the program that I'm always putting a like on, this is the one, Phil Nason's. He has a podcast, and now he's every day. So, it's a good podcast. Pay attention to it. And, of course, he's co-host of Tanya for tonight. Woo!
Wow.
I feel like I'm on the third wheel on a date right now. Story of my life.
That's okay. We like you, though. You can stay in the back seat, dude. Come on up to the front seat with us.
And then that was good. And then here's another thing, Tanya. I'm figuring that Phil is a little closer to my age, so we understand the 39-year-old thing. We're like, oh, no, get rid of it. You're a younger pup there, so you still think 39-year-olds can deliver. No.
Really? Because Tim Wakefield was 45
years old
before
he retired.
No,
I retired this summer, so, and I'm 47. And I can still move pretty good, but when I hit with these young guys, it's a different issue now. But goodness gracious. I still remember, and Roger, you probably remember this too. I think we're very close in age. When Tom Seaver got traded.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Seaver was, he was still at the height of his powers in 1977. And if you can trade Tom Terrific, you can trade anyone.
Yeah.
And once they, when they traded Tom Seaver, I stopped idolizing and cherishing baseball players because I knew there's no point because they could be gone the next day. I believe I was 11 years old then, 12 years old.
Yeah, you know, Phil, I'm just 4 years behind you, so just to give you an idea. For me, it happened in 1994, seriously. I still had the idea of baseball being what it was, but when that strike came to pass, that just changed it for me. That's when it happened for me, the same thing that you went through. And I get it,
yeah,
dude.
Sure.
I get it. You know, I just held out. You know, it's kind of like, no, say it ain't so, man. But when 94 came
and you know what? The hockey people are going through that now. It's the same thing that you went through in 94. Because this hockey lockout, hey, that's the end. For me, I'm never going to talk about the NHL on my show again because of that. But and I have my own NHL show, a separate show. But, yeah, it's the same thing. You know, and like you say, when we go back to this R.A. Dickey, who else do you trade, Roger? Do you trade John Neese? Do you trade away a young guy who you've developed, who you've taken all this time to develop, and you keep a guy like Dickey, who's only going to be around for a year, maybe two, because what? Because he sends out some nice tweets.
Yeah. Look, Tanya, let me go back to the comment that Phil said about the Yankees back in the 60s. Let's take it up 2 decades and think of the 90s. Why were the Yankees as good as they were for a long time? Because they actually went against their own way of doing business. They built around a core of 5 to 6 players. There were 4 famous ones. We all know who they are. But there were still some other guys that were in that core there for a while. And it was amazing. They built from the inside out and they added to it. Granted, the Yankees had more money to do it, but they weren't the 70s and the 80s where they were building it purely on money. I don't know if you'd agree with that, Phil.
I absolutely agree with that. You know, who's Scotty Brosius? Who was he in the general scheme of things, except he was the MVP of the World Series 1 year, I believe. But who was he? He was somebody that they built up. And they had that core, and that's exactly how you build baseball teams now. That's exactly right. You build from inside, you bring around a couple guys. Look what the Mets did in 1986. Those were all homegrown talent. And what did they do? They brought in Carter. They brought in Hernandez, and boom.
I remember that via
the trade.
Yeah. I remember that deal, 1983, right? Was it the Allen-Hernandez deal? It was, huh?
Yeah, was it 83 or 84? One of those. It was.
Oh, right,
84?
Yeah.
84. It was my freshman year in college, I think, 84, because Carter came in 85, and in 86 they won it all.
Yeah, I remember the dream season of Dwight Gooden in 1985, 24-4. Remember that? Oh, my God.
I certainly do. You know, they were talking about it on talk radio yesterday when they were talking about this Trout kid and this Bryce Harper, who was now the youngest MVP, and he was like 2 weeks younger than Dwight Gooden. And that's incredible. I mean, I still remember that Dr. K. The first time I saw him pitch, when you saw that curveball, that 12-6 curveball, that was amazing.
you know,
we went through some years there where it wasn't so much fun to be a Met fan. And all of a sudden, we got this young guy who's bringing the gas, throwing that amazing curveball, and then you got this other kid, Daryl Strawberry, who looks like he stepped out of the hood and who's crushing baseballs. And then you get Keith Hernandez. You got this Lenny Dykstra guy who's got 50 pounds of chew in his mouth. That was when baseball was great.
I agree with you. I look back at those teams. Tanya, I can still name a lot of those guys. And help me out on this, guys. let's talk about the World Series championship team. Who did they have? Who are their starting pitchers? They had some little kid. Gee, who was that? Dwight Gooden. They had Ron Darling. They had, did they have Sid Fernandez for that run? Was he there?
Sid Fernandez was there. Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was. Who were the other two? Was David Cone there?
David Cone was not there, but Bobby Ojeda was there.
That's right.
And,
That's right.
The fifth starter was, oh, good grief. I want to say Roger McDowell, but I can't say Roger McDowell.
You're right. It might be.
I'm not sure. I can't. At 4:45 in the morning. But, yeah, that's exactly right. And they were, what were they again? Homegrown talent, correct? Except for Ron, I believe they traded for Ron Darling, didn't they?
I think they traded for Bobby Ojeda. That one, yes.
Oh, Bobby Ojeda. Okay. But
yeah,
that,
Ron Darling.
But that was how you built baseball teams.
Yeah, and it was built on pitching. Yeah. Now, Tanya.
And fundamental baseball with a great manager, who, by the way, let's congratulate, Davey Johnson was named Manager of the Year this year. I love Davey Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's all business.
Wait, I could talk about these teams forever.
Heck yeah. I think I have Tim and Peter in the chat room shocked because I'm talking about the Mets. And I'm like, no, man, I just love baseball. I'm a Yankee, yeah. But, see, the difference between me and everyone else, I think, is if there's a game of baseball on, I will watch it. I love baseball. You know, I'm also a Dodger. I'm an Angel. I'm sorry. I admit it. I fully admit it. You know, I've been a Yankee since 1979, man.
Right. Okay. I'll tell you what. You'll enjoy my show Friday because Eric Steven from True Blue LA, we're going to do a weekly Dodger report every Friday. So you'll enjoy that.
All right. We're going to have to check that one out then. That is cool. Tanya, I'm sorry. I've kicked you off your own program. I'm sorry.
Oh, by all means, it's completely what I expected.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's fine.
That's
okay. Tanya had her fun at the first half.
Yeah. You know, that's why people don't invite me to their program, because I just talk.
No,
it's what I do.
I love having you. I love having you on the show. You make it a good evening for me.
This is awesome.
Well, I appreciate that, but hey, guys, join us again this Saturday. And, Phil, obviously, it's always a thrill when you're on here on this program, The Five Tools Show. But,
Thank you.
Out to everyone, dude, if you record a 30-second commercial for us, we will play it. It's so funny. I've said that about 100 times.
I'll send it to you tomorrow.
Only one person has done that for me. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, okay. You see, now, that was West Coast. If I were East Coast, it'd be, oh, my God. Sorry.
I have, for both of my shows, my tennis show is pretty huge, too. I'll send them both to you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Appreciate that. Guys,
perfect.
I'm actually going to have to let you go right now because Tuesday Night America is on in about 6 minutes. I have to go over and prep. Get ready for the program. Of course, we're on blogtalkradio.com/NDB Media. It's current events night. We're going to be going over a lot of stuff, so permit me and forgive me, Tanya. It's what I do. I'm the benevolent dictator.
By all means, Roger. That's why
I'll be in touch, man. Thanks.
Thanks, Phil. It's always good hearing of you on the program, though. And I do appreciate your insight, Phil. I also want to say one final thing. There have been times I disagree with you, but I appreciate your commentary on it. I don't say that to just anyone, and I mean that. There are times that I really disagree with you, but I appreciate your thought process in it. It's good stuff, Phil, and I wish you all the best on that program. Come join us whenever you want. Seriously.
Okay, thank you. Very kind. Well, Tanya, that was fun.
As always. Always fun. I love having Roger on the program. So if anybody else cares, Jason Bay looks like he might be signing with the Indians. He's on a short list of teams being considered. And then Ken Rosenthal of FoxSports.com thinks that the Marlins could trade Ricky Nolasco next.
Probably.
Like they haven't.
So who will the Mets trade? Before we go, who will the Mets trade, Tommy? You didn't tell us. Who will the Mets trade this winter?
The Mets won't trade anybody because nobody gives a flying crap about what the Mets have to offer anymore. Unless they're giving up one of their top prospects, they're not gonna do much.
Okay.
And if you gave up your top prospects, then you got nothing for the fans to look forward to, so you don't give up your prospects.
Okay. Cool. I think Ari Dickey will be gone by spring training.
Well, if the right team wants to go for him, then by all means. I don't have sentimental attachments to anybody. I don't give a flying crap if a player wants to stay because he loves this city. If you're not going to put up, then shut up and get out of my city.
Well, Dickey wants to stay, but I don't think. And we would love to have him stay. I wish, Tanya, that he was 32 years old.
Yeah, well, Tim Wakefield was 44.
Okay. I wish he was 32.
Dickey has thrown harder. But even if you sign him just for, like, 2 years. But you know what? You want to trade him? Trade him. As long as you're improving the team.
Well, I'm not in charge of
the
trade.
I don't give a flying crap what you do. But if you trade Dickey,
I don't have any say in the trade. If I had a say in the trades, I would have traded Ike Davis in the spring. I would have traded him while he was still hot, before he went
that
slump.
And you would never be a guest on this program ever again. I am letting that be known.
See, you would love to play fantasy baseball with me. I wheel and deal.
Nobody,
and that's all we're doing
that.
Really is playing fantasy baseball, because we don't have any say in the matter, really. But that's what I would do. I wouldn't trade Ike Davis now.
Well,
I would wait.
Not now.
I would wait. I just wanted to wind you up there.
Yeah, no.
Because you were already wound up pretty good today.
You don't listen. You do not want a piece of me. Not when it comes to Ike Davis. People talk about, let's trade Ike Davis. I will kick your ass if you ever even came remote to discussing trading Ike Davis. Once I heard trade rumors about Ike Davis, I was ready to storm the offices of Citi Field, go up to Sandy Allison, and be like, what the hell were you thinking even talking about trading Ike Davis? Are you stupid?
Well, you never know. They traded Tom Seaver. Don't forget that. And Tom Seaver, no offense to Ike Davis or any other current or former Met, but Tom Seaver was the greatest New York Met ever. And they traded him.
Yes, well, Mets fans need to get
Anything's
over it.
Possible.
Tom Seaver was traded. Get over it, people.
I will never get over that. Never.
Get over it. Get over it.
I'll never get over it. You know, I almost had him on my show.
Really?
Okay.
Mets fans,
I
want to
cry every time I think about their trade.
You want to know why Mets fans don't get over anything? Because a lot of Mets fans were once upon a time Dodgers fans and Giants fans. And because they're all so bitter because
yeah,
Dodgers
never
and Giants left, Mets fans will never get over anything. They hold grudges like nobody's business.
Well, I have the same affinity for Tom Seaver that you have for Ike Davis. Only mine's more founded because Tom Seaver was awesome.
You can't compare.
Look up Tom Seaver's stats sometime.
You cannot compare a pitcher to a first baseman, especially a pitcher of Tom Seaver's caliber. Are you kidding me? The man's a Hall of Famer. You're insulting Seaver just by putting the two in the same sentence.
Well, I didn't do that. I'm just saying Tom Seaver is the greatest of all time. But my point was, if they will trade him, then
Phil?
No one's safe.
Phil?
Yes.
The show's over.
Well,
and with that, ladies and gentlemen, the show has come to an end. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. I want to thank my co-host, Phil Nathan, for joining me on the program. And to all of you, have a good night. I will see you next week, same time. Thanks, Kate. Good night, people.